Turn to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. We're going to venture together in the beginning of the children of Israel's journey. They're at Mount Sinai and they're getting ready to head to the promised land. And we're going to see the protection God gives his chosen people in this life and in the life to come. Just in this lesson here, it's all laid out very clear, I think, but it's very beautiful, very lovely. We see just several things going on here. Let's look at verses 1 through 10 first. And the Lord God spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make it, and thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journey of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but one trumpet, then the princes which are heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves unto thee. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron and the priests shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be for you an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Also, in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. So what we see here is there's trumpets. This is the first thing. And you think about the logistics. I think there's, 2 million people or 1.5 million, whatever, however many people have been brought out from Egypt. Children, men, boys, girls, there's a lot of people. And you're not going to just be in a small place. So obviously the Lord, who knows all things, you can hear a trumpet. You can hear a trumpet. And so they're camped at the bottom of Sinai. And there's this huge camp. So the Lord tells Moses, this is what you're going to do. You're going to make some trumpets. Every time the camp was to move, if there was war or danger, as we'll see when, not in this lesson, but as they progressed, they had danger here, they had danger there. They blew the trumpets to alert the people. Because as they started moving, they were some in the front and all the way back. You remember the tribe of Dan, all the way in the back. I don't know how far they were, maybe, I don't know, a long ways from one another, from the front. So every time they gathered together or they moved, they would blow the trumpets. The people would get everything together. They'd get the tabernacle, the tent of meetings. They would wrap it up and they would just do all these things based on the sound of the trumpet. I think in this trumpet we can see the preaching of the gospel. Because that's what, turn with me to Isaiah 27. this blowing of the trumpet, it's for alarm, and that's what the gospel does. The gospel, when you preach, your flesh is alarmed. You know, we make no provisions in the flesh, and the spirit is comforted. There's warfare. One of the jobs of the watchman when he was in the promised land was they were up in the wall. They were to sound an alarm when danger was present. That's one reason for the trumpets. Another reason for when they gathered together. Isaiah 27 and verse 13. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria and the outcasts of the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. That's the signal. The trumpet shall be blown. Isaiah 58. And there's many more examples. I'm just going to use these two. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. And verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Like a trumpet. And show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. So the gospel declaration is likened to a trumpet. Isn't this what we do, by God's grace, for 30 plus years, every time we gather together? I'm responsible to blow the trumpet, make a clear sound. We're not interested in politics here. We're not interested in the economy, though it all affects us. When we gather together, put all that stuff aside, we're gathering to worship. We're assembled together. That's what a gathering together means, to assemble together. This is what we do. Every time we come together, the sound of the gospel goes forth. Life unto life, or death unto death. Every time we gather together, the notes, the tunes of the good news is heard once more among us. Once more among us. We hear of how God can both be just and justify the ungodly. It's a time to reflect how He's been gracious to us. If you think about it, we could all went different ways. We could still be in false religion. It's a time to reflect. We hear that sound. It's a time to examine ourselves. Are we in the faith? Am I in the faith? Do I believe? Do I understand the note that's being blown? It's a time to rejoice. Turn to Psalms 81. Psalms 81. His commandments are not grievous. Anybody that tells you, well, I don't know how you could go here and listen to the guy preach anything, let alone the same message, which is only one message, one gospel, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. I don't know how you could do that. So he's saying it's a bore, it's a drag. Well, in Corinthians he says his commandments are not grievous, and that word, I have it written inside of my Bible, means weighty or burdensome. If it's weighty or burdensome now, you're not going to enjoy heaven. You probably won't be there, but you won't. And I'm not saying that we don't have weight. We don't have burdens. We do. But look at Psalms 81, verses 1 through 4. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm. Bring hither the timbrel, a pleasant harp with psaltery. Blow upon the trumpet. In the new moon, in the time appointed, on our Sabbath, solemn feast days. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. So it's a joy. And I know we got things, we got to work, we got to pay bills, taxes, but let it go. Let it go. There'll be plenty enough times to do that. This morning, if you want to say the Lord's Day, every day is the Lord's Day. We come together to worship. Don't be thinking about, you know, what's going to happen in 20 minutes. I know it's easy to do. right now, we're trying to worship and adore the Lord our God. The trumpet's being played. The trumpet's being played. Do we know the sound of this gospel trumpet? Do we rejoice when we come together? Are we attentively listening for the notes of this sweet tune of the free substitution of the free grace of God in Christ? And this was always the case. Look at what he says in the verse 2. That you may use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journey of the camps. Verse 2. Blow with them. All the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. It's always the case. Hear the trumpet. Come together, the people of his choosing. Look at verse 7. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. Now, I just went right past this. And then I got to looking at actually no other commentator, but Tim James made a comment. I thought, he's right on the money. When we gather together, we come in peace to hear of the gospel of peace. We don't come in with an agenda. We don't come in to usurp authority. We don't come in. There is no hierarchy. There's differing gifts. I'm not any better than anybody here. If the Lord takes me out, if this work continues, he'll raise somebody else up. We come together in peace. You shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. So that tells me, listen just a little bit. When the trumpet to gather together was sounded, their enemies could not attack. Because then you have to sound the alarm. When you sound the alarm, don't when you sound the trumpet to gather together, don't sound the alarm. Don't sound the trumpet for the alarm. This is a place of peace. And we've seen it a few times, several times in our history, where people come in and it's just, they're making trouble. And Bruce and I will bear with it. And then finally, it's just like, we'll pull them aside. What we do here is above you and me. What we do here is we are worshiping the God of glory. That's what we're doing. We're talking about peace. And Christ has made peace by the blood of his cross. How, you know, because we've done this before. You come in and you got things on your mind. You're aggravated. He's the God of peace. He's not the God of confusion or chaos. So it behooves me to stay off the hot buttons. You see what I'm saying? To stay off these politicals, to stay off. And I know there's preachers that's all they'll talk about. You know, they'll talk about wars and this and that. Preaching anything other than Christ and him crucified is not going to save anybody. It's through the foolishness of preaching that he calls his people. So it behooves me every time we gather together to just one note. He's reconciled us together to sit in the heavenlies. Do not be alarmed. Now, the flesh is going to be rebuked, and those who know not the gospel, they need to be alarmed. But the purpose of the gospel is, like I say, a savor of life unto life, death unto death. But for me to try to stick that in and twist it and do this, I'm not responsible for that. I'm responsible to blow the trumpet. This here is an oasis from the wilderness. Isn't that true? When they camped together, wherever they were going, they were about ready to go. I think it says in the next section, verse 12, they left Sinai and were going 3 days' journey to Paran. So it's a wilderness. That's what this world is. It's a wilderness. So this is an oasis when we gather together, and there'll be plenty of battles, trials, but not as we come together. It's about worshiping Christ. Set this time aside guard it jealously. Honor it. Honor God in it. And be at peace among yourselves. Gathering together to worship. Let's look at the second thought here, verses 11, 12, and 13. They're going from Sinai to Paran. And it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle, the testimony, and the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. And they first took their journey according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Now they got this cloud. So the trumpet was sound. They gathered together. They got instruction. Packed everything up. And it's like I said, about 3 days' journey, they went from Sinai to Paran. This cloud. Now they've got this cloud. This cloudy pillar. This cloud is obviously the Lord Jesus Christ and everything regarding him. There was a cloud by day for protection from the sun. It's a wilderness. It's sunny. And then a fire by night so they could see. They could have direction. The cloud signifies obviously the Lord Jesus Christ, his presence, his perseverance, his protection, his sustenance, his truth, his doctrine, his abiding graces to us. So here's my thought. This is just the start. We started sometime. Now, before the foundation of the world, he chose a people. But we didn't realize that until a certain particular day, time, when he called us by the truth. From that time until we reach Canaan, heaven, this cloudy pillar is never going to leave our side. Do we believe that? Whatever the situation may be in this country, this economy, whatever it may be, diseases, viruses, etc., he will be with us the whole way. But there's more. So there was never a time here and now, in a time to come, that which will come, that our great God is not with his redeemed people. From Sinai to Canaan. From right now, it's Sinai to Paran. He is even with us. One day, faith will be turned to sight. And we'll realize this more than we ever have before. That he's taking care of us the whole time. We may change places. Sinai. Paran. Here. There, well, you may change places. You may change jobs, careers, trials, highs, lows. But we can, on the authority of God's word, state that he never left us or forsook us. Verse 13. And they first took their journey according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. He's there all the time. All the time. First and last, earthly journeys are all under his caring providence. What about the neighboring tribes? No. They're the elect only. The elect only. The people of his choosing. The third section here. The next section is just it talks about each tribe and where they're at and their order and walking and marching, etc. So we'll skip all that. We'll go to verse 29 to 32. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. He's a Midianite. We are journeying unto the place which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do you good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. He has said unto him, Hobab returned to Moses, said, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And he said, leave us not, I pray thee. This is Moses, for as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, that and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. It's the same will we do unto thee. Now what we see in here is the spirit and the flesh. Yes, Moses is a man of like passions. First, we see the spirit. We see the Spirit. He says, come with us. We will do you good. You have mom that's not saved, dad that's not saved, children that's not saved, neighbors that are not saved. Come with us. The trumpet's being blown. Gather together with us, is what he's saying. Come with us. This is a good thing. So I can't witness very well. That's fine. Just invite people. Come with us. Come hear the gospel. Come hear the word of truth. Indeed we shall. Come here with us at this place, that Sovereign Grace Church in Jackson. You will hear that one true gospel, the grace of God, where ruined sinners are reclaimed by the blood of Christ's righteousness and not our works. Where ruined rebels are made willing to serve and worship the triune God, blessed forever and over all. Where you will hear how God in Christ is satisfied based upon the worthy work of the Lord Jesus Christ only. Our sins are covered, blotted out, atoned for. God is honored, and we are saved. To Him be all glory, now and forever. This is what you'll hear when you come here. This is what you'll hear. Yes, come with us and hear what good things, that sounds like good news to me, that God has said and done for His people. Verse 29 in the last part. We will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. That's the gospel. The good news. But what is Hobab's answer? And that happens. No, I'm not going to go. I'm going to depart to my own land and to my own kindred. And that's what a lot of times we hear. But you don't know the mind of God. We don't know the heart of man. We know what the heart is in the heart of man. But secondly, flesh. Flesh, flesh, flesh. Now again, no other commentator said this but Mr. Tim James. And I think he's right on the money. The flesh is always the flesh, because we're only sinners saved by grace. What is Moses' motive for asking? Look at verse 31. Don't leave us, because as you know how we are encamped in the wilderness, and that you may be to us our eyes instead of our eyes. You may help lead us the way. Now back up. I thought they had the cloudy pillar. God's sovereignty, Christ. I thought they had the fire at night to lead them in the way. What do you need man's eyes for? Moses is just like us. Does God need anyone? Does the church need anyone? Do we need the church? This is the hospitals where sinners come. We are but lepers cleansed. God's will and purpose shall be accomplished with or without you and I. That's like inviting somebody because they got money. Oh, that'd be a good addition. They'd be a good addition because they're a sinner and they need to be saved. That's it. And may I remind us that God is omniscient, He's omnipotent, He's omnipresent. Does He not see all things? What are we going to ask somebody? It's like the children of Israel. Well, we want a king. No, you don't need. I'm your God. I'm your king. We want a king. So what did God give him? He gave him Saul. We need to invite sinners because they need to hear the truth. Not because we think they would be a great addition to the church. There's nothing, and this is what Bruce was talking about this morning, and I said, there's nothing that we wouldn't do if God if he withdrew His grace. There's nothing we wouldn't do. Oh, you want examples? Noah, he was a believer, wasn't he? He's drunk. Okay. Abraham lied to the king. It almost cost him his wife. David, Bathsheba. These are all believers. Peter, I'll never deny you. Samson, A woman took his eyes off of Christ. Solomon, the wisest man there ever was, an idolater. Paul, we could go on. We are but flesh so often. May God keep us when that trumpet sounds to rush to gather together. Now, verses 33 through 36, we see the ark and the cloud. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey. This is going to Paran. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey. This is strange, to search out a resting place for them. Okay, and the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass, when the ark set forward, that Moses said, "Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee." And when it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands," or thousands of thousands of Israel, "return unto your people." Basically, this is the same thing I said before. The Lord has led and fed all the way from start to finish. He says, "With food and raiment, be content." Didn't he send quail? He's going to send quail. Didn't he send the manna? Water. The water followed them with the rock. That rock, Corinthians says, is Christ. The cloud, it says in Psalms 105, verse 39, shaded them by day, and the pillar warmth by night. When you and I look back, even now, from when the Lord redeemed us, do you and I and do we see God's good hand with us every step? Every step. Look at this, what he says here in the last part of verse 33. They went 3 days' journey. The ark searched out a resting place for them. So it said, you go here and then stop. And when they stop, they unpacked. They put everything out. They may be there a month. They may be there a week. They may there be a day, years. When the trumpet sounded, they gathered together. And the pillar started to move. The scripture says in John 15, without him we can do nothing. And what we see here is faith. When the cloud stopped, they stopped. When it went, they went. And God even searched out a resting place for them. He does everything. I mean, everything. We have breath and life because of him. But the cloud, the ark, the covenant of the Lord went before them to search out a resting place. I don't understand. I don't know how it worked. It's just they couldn't move anymore. The pillar, I don't understand. It just stopped. Faith, this is walking by faith. We need to stay put as long as God demands it. And we need to go forward when he demands it. Stay put. Gather together. Oh, there's nothing going on here. That's fine. As long as the note is clear, loud, the message is being preached, you're gathered together, you see the importance of gathering together, come what may, we'll sink or swim, we'll serve him. Or as Job would say, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. When it moved, they moved. When it didn't move, they didn't move. Matter of fact, somewhere, I can't remember, in the first five books, Moses said, if you don't go with us, we don't want to go. We don't need to go. If his presence is not with us, and I believe his presence is with us because his gospel is preached. Are we as loving as we could be? We're like Moses. No. We're like Paul. We're like David. If the Lord holds his grace, we'll fall flat. So this is walking by faith. They went there. It's set forward. Moses said, "Rise up, Lord, let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee." There's statement, articles, statements of faith. Stay close. That what this is saying is, to me, stay close to our Redeemer by reading his book, by gathering together, by prayer, by fellowship, by hearing the word of God. And this will be the result. The enemies will be scattered. The enemies will flee, and that could be the flesh. That could be Satan. That could be the world, the trinity of evil. That's our enemies. And when it rests, the Lord will be in the midst of them. The enemies will, we won't have fear. We will not have fear. This is statements of faith. And where faith is, there will be no fear. And to close, basically I think what the New Testament parallel passage to what Moses is saying is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57 and 58. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's never in vain. Never, ever in vain. Where he stays, we'll stay. Where he moves, we'll move. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading and preaching of his word. Nathan, would you close us?